Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure and a privilege to be here. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and we thank you that the entrance of your word will give light, will give understanding to the simple. We pray, Lord, today that I will speak like your oracle, that your word will go forth and do an eternal work in the hearts and the lives of your people, that Jesus Christ might be glorified and all the saints edified. And the devil's terrified in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the people say aloud, amen.
Amen.
Good morning, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Well, it's always a joy to be in the house of God. Amen. And it's always a privilege to bring God's word to God's people. I want you to know we don't take it lightly at all. I want to thank Pastor Musa and his wife for bringing me all over from Surrey. Amen. And I tell you, yesterday I had one of the greatest hospitalities I've had in a long time. Amen. I work amongst the natives of this land, and it's good to come out here sometimes and see how other things are done. Because when you stay amongst the natives, sometimes we undervalue the things of God. So I was really blessed yesterday, Friday, Saturday, and today, seeing the value. Because you see, let's leave that alone. We need to value the things of God. Amen. Yes, also I brought some materials, some of our CDs and books and all of that. I put them at the back. I don't intend to take them back. Say amen.
Amen.
If you don't buy them, they will remain there till next Sunday. So take them away quickly. Amen. Today, yes, on Friday, I was looking at evangelism. I wanted to, God put in my heart to stir the church up to evangelize. Amen. Today, we're looking at another subject I call training for reigning. Say amen.
Amen.
What do I call it?
Training for reigning.
That means God wants us to reign. But until he trains us, we cannot reign. Hello. And we're going to be looking at the process of training and what we need to do and what God is doing and all of that. So you can understand where you are in the process. Everybody say in the process.
In the process.
Because folks, we like to see the end result. Is that not true? When God speaks to us, he tells us the end. True?
Yes.
Oh, you will reign in life. Romans 5 says that. Those who have received the gift of grace, the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace will do what? Reign in life. The Bible says in Revelation 1 that we have been made kings and priests unto our God. Now, when God's word declares a thing, many of us think we just walk into it like that. And then when we step out, we see that it's not exactly like we thought. Am I talking? But the question therefore is, what is the process? Jesus gave us the key, but we didn't catch it. In one portion, people said, we want to see Jesus. And Jesus looked at them and said, except the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides. But if it dies, and after it has died, it will bring forth what? Fruit. So God gave us the pattern in his son, but we didn't catch it. So all of us celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Is that not true? We should, because without his death, you and I are on our way to hell. True or false? But what we have not seen is the second side of the picture, that his death, burial, and resurrection is the pattern to maturity. Is somebody hearing me here? And because we don't understand that, we struggle with the process. So I want to give you a picture. I want four volunteers, because I see pictures speak more than words. I want four volunteers to come up. Any four? Four people. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just four. Thank you. The tallest of them should be at that end. The shortest should be at this side. So you're first. Thank you very... No, 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 no. You're not that tall. Now... No, 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 no. That, are you taller than her?
Yes.
All right. Spread out a bit. Spread out. I think it's my fault. I shouldn't go so close to the microphone. All right. No, not too far apart. Just come closer. Come closer. Come closer. Come closer. Now, turn and face that side. All four of you. Now, they're not quite tall. Okay. You just bend a bit for me, bend. You just bend a bit. You bend a bit. Now, when I stand here, what am I seeing? Whenever God's word comes to you, he shows you the end. Joseph is a classical point. What did the dream Joseph had? What did he tell him? All him standing, others are bowing. He's a leader. What did God use him as a leader? For two, three generations after Joseph, they still remember Joseph. God used the guy mightily, but nobody will tell you what you go through to get to what he has said. And this is where a lot of people abort the process of God in their lives. God has given me a prophetic word. He will use me mightily. Everybody say end result.
End result.
This is what you see. When the prophets of old saw the death of Jesus and all of that, they saw the glory that will be made manifest after his death. They didn't see some of these things. Did you hear me one more?
Yes.
Prophet Isaiah picked it, but most of the other prophets just saw the glory that will be revealed. Wow! And many of us today, that's what we see. When God calls you, when God touches you, you sense in your heart that there's a bright future for you. True or false? But nobody tells you that there are steps in the process. So this is the death. You're not death in Jesus' name, but
amen.
Death, burial, resurrection, ascension. Everybody say process. Joseph saw the dream. I saw myself stand and everybody bowing to me. The first thing that happened to him was he was sold as a... In essence, he died. You see, because they showed his father the coat stained with blood. So he died. True or false? Forgotten. That's when you are buried. You know, Jesus stayed only 3 days because he was sinless. Children of Israel stayed 40 years in the wilderness. Did you hear what I said? This is where many of us struggle to come out of the grave. They must see me. Because at this death process, now, it's not something you do for yourself. Don't bother doing it for yourself. Just follow God. This is what you will go through. The pattern son has shown the pattern. No man comes to the Father except by me. This is the pattern. Look at every character in the Bible. You will see the death, the burial, the resurrection before the ascension. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? By laying down his life. So if a man is going to truly love his wife biblically, he will lay down his life. Meaning he will lay down his pride. Does it hurt a man to lay down his pride?
Yes.
It's likened to death. You will become like somebody they scrub their feet on you. It's called burial. Don't you respect me? But the day the resurrection life works in you, something else rises on the inside. The same one that you died to will now submit to you by choice. This is where the man begins to reign in his life, in his house. Am I talking here? Look at the woman that God says, submit to your own husband. Well, some women have more ideas than men. Hello? How many of you understand that women's brains are different from men's brains? They have the two sides working together. We have a problem here. The one that God told to reign and rule over his wife has only one side working. The one that God told to submit has the two working. So God knows what he's doing. So he says you should be the help and you have more faculties at work. Don't ask me why, but let's leave that alone. Everybody say death.
Death.
How can you submit to such a man? He's thinking one track, you are thinking two. And he says you submit. That's death. Is somebody hearing me? The woman stays in that death situation and she looks like, well, a lot of times, if she's doing it as unto the Lord, God will touch the heart of that man and say, start respecting the woman coming to resurrection. She takes her rightful place in that home. Am I talking here? I don't care what subject you talk about. I don't care what. I don't care who. If you're going to follow biblical pattern and come to the full manifestation of God's plan for your life, you won't escape this process. And I'm telling you, don't tell yourself I will die. Don't even bother. as long as you have embraced the word of God, it will work in you a death process. Am I talking here? It will work in you a death process. Why? Because the things of the carnal nature, the things of the flesh that will hinder your destiny must die. You see, people think it's a demon all the time. You see, there is a place for demons. There's a place of the nature of man that we inherited in Adam, that we must say no to so that Christ in us can come up. If you don't discipline yourself to constantly do that, there's no way you're going to fulfill what God has ordained for you. A lot of people abort their destiny here. Why? Because they don't want the process of death to take hold of them. Am I talking here? Now, did Joseph attract any, did he cause any trouble for himself? No, he just had a dream and talked about it, and he was serving. Do you know that Joseph served all the days of his life? He served his father, he served Potiphar, he served the prison warder, he served the Pharaoh. So all his life he will be serving. So all your life you will be serving. Am I talking here? And if you're going to go into that destiny, listen, it is not the devil that will stop your destiny, because Jesus died to set you free. It is your carnal nature and your stubbornness that can stop it. Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God except ourselves. It's the choices you make in life that determine whether you fulfill your destiny. Am I talking here? God has already ordained that you should. He's put his power into work. He's given you his word, but you have choices to make. And if you don't learn to cooperate with God, then you abort the process. I can tell you people who aborted the process in the wilderness. The children of Israel. God called Moses, take them out. He said, I wanted them to go through so that they can know what's in their own hearts. And as they went through, they began to rebel against God. They began to speak against God. Did they enter? No. Was it God's will for them to enter? Yes. Did they enter? No. But there were two, Joshua and Caleb. He said, let us go at once. They kept their heart right. Now watch. Because it was a corporate vision and the majority did not go in, their own faith could not take them in, but it sustained them until another generation was raised. Did you catch that? That there are some things that don't happen just because of your faith. It takes corporate faith to enter. And where others are not working in that corporate faith, they will not enter and they will hinder you from entering until another generation rises. Then you can enter together. That's why it took 80 years for those guys to enter. The others died at 40. Is someone hearing me? There's a place for your personal faith. There's a place for corporate faith. When there's corporate faith, if we don't understand the corporate vision and the corporate entering together, then we won't enter until another generation is raised. That tells me something, that if God has planned something for your life, if you don't live up to it, he'll raise somebody else to do it. Because the test will come. God will never use what he has not tested. Is someone hearing me here? I mean, he will allow the test. Satan himself will make sure that you are tested. Am I talking here? I mean, look at the test of Jesus Christ, the temptation. He was hungry after 40 days. And what was it that Satan came and said? If you be the Son of God, turn this. He looked at Satan and he said, you know what? I have drawn the boundaries of God's word around my life. Man shall not live by bread alone. Now, did that sound like binding the devil? No, he didn't say, I bind you, Satan. He said, man, meaning himself, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth. In other words, I will not yield to my human appetite. I will yield to the word of God. Brothers and sisters, that discipline must be in every life. If you're going to be who God wants you to be, if you're going to come into maturity, don't you ever think your individual faith will have nothing to do with it. We're all just serving God together. No, Satan will check you out one at a time. Am I talking here? Well, let these people go back. Let's clap our hands for them as they go back. So, why did I call it training for reigning? Well, there are many scriptures that talk about training. Say amen. Amen. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, the workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Say amen. Amen. And that's 2 Corinthians 2:15. In 2 Corinthians 3:16, it talks about all scripture is given. Amen. for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and for training. Amen. To train the man of God in righteousness. Shout hallelujah. Now, in 1 Timothy 4, Paul was talking, he says, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness profits for the life that now is and the life that is to come. It looks to me like Paul understood that the work of God, working with God, can be likened to exercises. Is that not true? I like exercise because I go to the gym. And sometimes those exercises are painful. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. And what you need to do is to not only have exercise, but have healthy diet. I'm not a personal trainer, but I can share some things with you. So that when any attack comes on your body, you have internal resistance because you have a healthy body. That is also true spiritually. Pollution and contamination has come into the body today because we don't have healthy diet and a healthy body. Is someone hearing me? I mean, if you know, if you eat only candy, you won't be healthy. You need to have a balanced. So also, when you feed on the word of God, you can't feed on the get happy ones. You feed on the ones that make you feel unhappy too. Hello, somebody. You feel on the ones that make you feel, ouch, ouch. Repent. Pride. Say amen, somebody. Amen. When it makes you feel uncomfortable, when you say no to that flesh, when you tell your flesh, I know what you like, but I'm not going to give it to you. You tell your flesh, you are no longer in control. The Holy Ghost is in control. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. So how do we go about this matter? Hebrews 5. Let's turn to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. I'm just going to share with you what to do as you go through your process. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You need to keep these things in mind. Hebrews 5 from verse 17, I think it is. Am I right? No, that's Romans 5, 17. Hebrews 5 from verse 13. It says, from verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need of one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and as such, and have become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a what? A babe. What is the word of milk? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may do what? Grow thereby. So there is the milk element of the word, and there is the meat element of the word. Are you ready for meat, son? Okay. But strong meat belongeth to them who are that of full age, even those who by reason of what? Exercise of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How many people know that in the church today, many people are still needing the milk, not the meat? Why is that so? Because milk is easier to digest. Meat, you have to chew on it. In other words, you have to go study the matter. So you examine the issue. How many of you know we're all too busy to do that right now? Okay. So it says you must exercise your senses. Have you ever seen a blind man who has exercised some part of his senses that he can know when you're around? Have you seen that before? A man who can't see, but he knows when you're around. What did he exercise? What did he train himself in? Another level of his senses. Is that not true? Do you know you can train your spiritual senses like that? You can train every faculty of yours. In fact, the way God created us human beings is that every part of our human faculty is trainable. Am I talking here? You can train your mind how to think. Philippians 4, what things soever are good, what things soever are this and that and that. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You can train yourself how to think. You can train yourself how to see. Hello. You can train yourself how to perceive things of God. It's a deliberate exercise. Many people don't do that. But you know what's going on in your world? Anytime you're not doing something you ought to do, somebody else will be doing it on your behalf. So every TV movie you watch, somebody's training you. Did you catch that? Every friend you didn't talk to that talked to you is training something. How many of you can train yourself in laziness? Just wake up in the morning and sleep again. Just wake up in the morning and what? Sleep again. After some time, you will be so well adjusted to laziness that you just feel like sleeping. Hello? How many of you can train yourself to be so hungry for God that you've not read your Bible today, you feel uneasy? It's training. So that's what this scripture is telling, that those who have exercised their senses can discern both good and evil. Many people can't even discern that. Right? They're not trained. Okay, so what do I do? First of all, first thing you want to have here is identify the true state that you are in. Is somebody talking to me? Or am I talking to somebody? Identify what? You know, the Bible says in James chapter 3, it says that where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is every evil work. Do not lie against the truth. You know what that tells me? I was talking to believers. If I have envy in my heart, if I have malice in my heart, if I have jealousy in my heart, I don't need to wait for an event to prove it. I can notice it and deal with it. Is somebody hearing me? Do you know that every room you give the enemy in your life, you've given him a foothold to destroy something that God has ordained for you? People don't know it. I see many believers, they're living in sin and they're having prayers, binding the devil. And when you finish binding him with your prayer, you lose him with your words and your lifestyle. Hey, you are in church, you don't talk to somebody. And your thoughts and your imagination about that person is together evil and wicked. And then you say, we lift holy hands unto the Lord. That is unholy hands. And don't you kid yourself. Wherever there is darkness, the prince of darkness has access. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
It doesn't matter. I can prove to you from the Bible, time will not permit us. When Peter was saying, I will die with you, he was depending on his human strength. Before that time, they had been striving. Who is the greatest? They were competing among themselves. Satan had a foothold. That's why Jesus said, Satan has sought to sift you, but I prayed for you. He could tell that Satan's operation was already functioning in Peter's life. But Peter, in his humanity, said, in fact, don't say you will die. I will die with you. He said, Peter, calm down. Before the cock crows, you, I'm sure he will say, me? You don't know who I am. He said, you will deny me 3 times before the cock crows. Did he deny him? When the time of testing and the hour of darkness comes, your flesh has no standing at all. That's the reason why if you don't know how to put it under, the day of hour of darkness, you just fall flat. Am I talking here?
Yes.
Satan knows what he's doing. That's why we also encourage many people to live in the flesh. So the day he strikes, they can't do anything. Because flesh is his own trademark. What is the thing in the world? The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. One translation says, gimme, gimme, gimme. If you don't know how to deal with those 3 things in your life, you have not even started the process I've been talking about. Because the way to deal with the flesh is to crucify it. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
It's to say no to it. And let me inform you, no is an anointed word. One of the most anointed things that can come out of your mouth is no. When the flesh rises and says, this thing is so good, say no. And just leave the place and start praying in tongues. Hallelujah. I've done that to myself so many times. There are some things I like to do. That's why I don't do them. Hello? Because I can recognize through my training what is in me that likes to do it. So I just look at the thing and say, you know what? I'm out of here. I say, but don't you feel you're missing something? I'm not missing anything. I'm missing hell. I'm missing that which will hinder my destiny. I'm missing that could give me immediate pleasure, immediate comfort, but it will not help the future that I'm looking for. So I say no to it. And have I been glad to say no? Listen, when you say no to things that are of the flesh and you say yes to God, you give God a foothold in your life and he can do more than you can ever imagine. Some of us think that if we cannot scheme it, if we cannot plan it, if we cannot think it, we can't do it. I can tell you God can do beyond, exceeding, and abundantly above what you can ask or think. So there's a level of what I can think, what I can believe. And there's another level beyond what you can think. So you choose. Because Satan can match you on the foothold of anything in the natural. When Adam gave in to Satan, he gave him a foothold in the human race. If you're going to walk in this life and let Christ be formed in you, You are going to say no to many things that the flesh wants. Can I hear a loud amen?
Amen.
Oh, by the way, let me introduce myself by saying the goal of your Christianity is not a blessing. Hello. I said it on Wednesday, but I see that there are more people here. So let me say it again. The goal of your Christianity is not a blessing. The goal of your Christianity is that Christ be formed in you. That is Christianity. Genesis 1, let us make man in our image. Hebrews 1, he's the express image of God. Romans 8, that those who are predestinated are to be conformed to the image of the Son. That's the goal of your faith. The day Christ is being formed in you, you will walk on water, you will feed 5,000. All the things you are looking for will look after you. You didn't catch it? You see, we have missed the point because we thought that it's the blessing. No, it's not the blessing, it's the Christ being formed. The Father wants to look from heaven and say, this is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. There's nothing the Son spoke out of his mouth that nature didn't respond to. Is someone hearing me? You see, but when you miss the point, you go after the fringe benefits. The real issue, you've left it. And so, how do you derail a child? When a child is disturbing you in the house, you know what you do? You give him a toy to play with. Distract him. So he stops disturbing you. You know what Satan did to the whole church? He's distracting us. Ah, money, money, money. I need money. Because the real thing is not money. Money was designed to serve us. Not we serve money. We're supposed to work, don't get me wrong, but money in its large quantity is waiting for the manifestation of the Son so he can serve them. Am I talking here? God never designed you and I to pursue things. He designed us to pursue God. I don't have the time now. Okay, so let me read. Identify the state you are in. Do you have passion for God? Do you have fire in your heart? Amen? What is the state of my heart? What's the state of my mind? Do you know it when you're cold in your heart? You know, when you see a person who has lost his natural appetite, what do you say he has? He's sick. Is that not true? What about when you lose your spiritual appetite? You are sick. Well, I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to do. I don't have time to come to church. I don't have time. You are sick. Do you catch what I'm saying here? And it sets in slowly. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't set in one day and say, I'm sick. No. When you say, I don't have time. When last you read your Bible? Last month I read. You are sick, oh. Hello, any sick person in the house, I will pray for you at the end of service. How is your walk with God? How is your walk with the brethren? How is your witness to the world? Three things you must have: your personal walk with God, your relationship with the family of God, and your witness to the world. Say amen. Your personal walk with God is so important. When God looks from heaven, does he see you walking with him? He's made the provision, so why didn't you take advantage of it? Say amen. Okay, let me just give you the first steps I wrote here, and then I'll let you go. I'm a long-winding preacher, so, you know, and they put this thing before me here. This is the wisest thing I've seen here. This is telling me to my face, boom, boom, boom. In our church, after 30 minutes, I've just finished my introduction. Then I start the message. Then I round off another 30. So it's about, anyway. Amen. I hope you're getting the message that you need to be trained. You need to be trained in your mind, your words. You need to be trained in your choices. You need to be trained in your sexuality. Hello? Some people think it's the devil that is called their sexuality. No, it's not the devil. God made you a sexual being, and you need to be aware of the boundaries that will keep your sexuality holy unto God. Did somebody just catch that? I won't say much. He that hath an ear. Okay, so, steps in the training. Number one, be teachable. Number one, be what? Be teachable. Ask questions. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Learn of me. Bible says in Romans, 1 Corinthians 8, that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So what you want to do as you are teachable is to couple it with humility. Say amen.
Amen.
couple your learning with what? It's so important. Allow God to show you things you need to know, but learn them in humility. That's step number one in the training. Stay teachable all the days of your life. Can I hear an amen?
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. There was one day I went to see one man of God. And then I was still in Nigeria. And I visited him, and we had some argument about some doctrines. So as I was leaving, he said, "Kola, let me tell you one thing. Read your Bible and pray every day." And I felt insulted. As a preacher, why should you tell me read my Bible and pray every day? But as my pride was rising, everybody say pride.
Pride.
People think when you are a man of God, you don't have pride again. You still have. And you need to repent of it. As my pride was rising, the Holy Ghost said, "Why don't you listen to what he's saying?" He's saying, cultivate the habit of reading your Bible and praying every day. Is that not a relevant message till today? But you see how my pride will have knocked it off. So, be teachable. Don't say, "I know what I'm talking about. You who do that." No, no. You don't know everything. And even in everything you think you know, there should still be an attitude of humility handling what you know. Am I talking here? So, be teachable. Number two, study the word. Oh, I cannot overemphasize that. Go and read Psalm 119. Study the word. You see, there must be divine exchange taking place in your life. Your carnality for his divinity. The instrumentation that will produce change in your life and strength and capacity and character is the word of God. Listen, folks, and that word has the power to correct you. It has the power to change you on the inside. The changes people are looking for are not external. We need internal changes. You should ask yourself, why was I offended at that? Why did that thing rub me the wrong way? You see, the moment the word of God is not doing its work inside you, if you are sensitive, you can tell. Am I talking here?
Yeah.
It's not a very popular Sunday service, you know, Sunday message. But, you know, that's what God told me to share with you. So, me, I'm obeying him. Are you getting something from him? You see, study the word of God. Psalm 119 shows you how the psalmist was in love with the word of God. I cannot begin to explain to you what that word will do on the inside of you. I'm not talking about head knowledge. I'm talking about the one you internalize. I tell you what, the word is the maker. Listen, when I said Christ's likeness being formed in you, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. If that word can enter you, Christ is being formed in you. Say amen.
Amen.
And the way to do it is to make the word of God final authority in your life. Now, no matter how I feel, no matter what I think, no matter how I, no matter my circumstances, the word of God is authority. If the word says it, but you must study yourself. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Amen?
Amen.
Number three, use your talents to serve God. You know, I've said a lot of things that it looks like if you're not good enough, God won't accept you. No, that's not what I mean. Use your talent. Whether you're a cheat, you're a liar, use your talent. Same. At every phase of the process you're going, make service a key issue in your life. And don't, I read a story about animals coming together to have a school. So they said they were going to learn swimming, they're going to learn flying, they're going to learn, you know, everything. So the duck was first in swimming, but was very poor in flying. Do you see that lesson? So the squirrel will be good in climbing, but very poor in swimming. So all of us are not the same in every area. But whatever area you have, serve God. Be yourself. At every given time in the process, be yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, be yourself.
Be yourself.
You see, I learned to be myself many years ago as a young Christian. Whenever I felt bad about something, I don't deny it and say, anyway, praise the Lord. I will go into my closet, listen to how I live. I go into my closet and say, Lord, why did I feel like that? How many of you have heard the goodness of somebody and jealousy? You know what I'm talking about. Don't deny it, but don't talk about it publicly. Because they will know you that, green eye. When you go to your closet, you say, Lord, I can't deny what happened there. I repent of it. That's how to be yourself. You deal with issues that, why? Because that small thing can give Satan a foothold in your life. It's darkness. And the prince of darkness will come in there and mess you up. Say amen.
Amen.
But that will not be your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God will use us if we stop making excuses. Appreciate people for who they are, not who you want them to be. Be yourself and serve God. You know, one of the greatest things we learn to do as leaders is to let God be God amongst people. If God wants to take a person through process, no matter how my prayer and fasting, the person will go through it. So before I start any fight, I used to ask God, is this something you want me to fight about or I should leave? How many of you know you don't have to do all the warfare that there is around you? Some people just fight every fight that comes up. They say, ah, kuraba shataya kukuba. No. You need to take permission from heaven. Is this, you know, it's like going to a boxing arena and there are many boxing rings. Then you just enter. I say, I'm a boxer. You just enter one. And maybe you even want the person. They'll say, ah, bro, that was not your own. But the guy has given you black eye. So you have suffered, but not your own fight. So before I do any fight, when I'm praying and interceding for people, I say, Lord, what's your plan for this person's life? So I know whether you want us to fight, or this one is a foregone conclusion. I mean, some people just open their mouth and say, ah, this is, they say, no. Go to your closet and have a closet walk with God. Say amen. Yeah. So please, be yourself. Let others be. Number four, I think, and the last, no, two more. Number four, tithe. You say what? I said tithe. What? Tithe. Tithe is not a function of money, it's a function of trust. Did you hear what I said? It's not a function of whether you have the money or not. It's whether you can trust God with your future. That's really what it is. It's a test. It's not a function of money. It's a function of whether I trust God with my future. Should I build on that or I leave it alone for time's sake? Number four, cast all your cares on the Lord. Say amen. For he what? He cares for you. Time remaining. He cares so much for you. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is that Philippians 4, when it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with let your request be made known, and the peace of God. Oh my God. You don't know the relief. If I want to teach you on what it means to cast your cares, if I had my keys, I would cast my keys on somebody now. Are the keys still mine? No, they're still mine. You missed the point. They're still mine. But I have... You know why they're still mine? Let me show you a practical demonstration. Sorry about this. This is my wallet. I'm not dashing anybody. Just example. I cast my wallet on you. Watch something. Did you notice that I didn't go close? I just stretched my hand. He wants to give him back because it is still. When you cast your cares on the Lord, your thought patterns show whether you have truly cast them or you are asking for your cares to be given back to you. Did you catch that? When you cast your cares on the Lord, you go before God and say, Lord, these are my cares. I roll them on you. Why do I need to do that? Because I need clarity of mind and thought and heart rest to hear instructions from God as to what to do concerning those cares. Am I making sense here? Those cares will choke my obedience, choke my sensitivity, choke everything that I need to put in place for those cares to be met. But by casting them on the Lord and leaving them with Him, my system is free to obey God. Am I making sense here? See, why I demonstrated that is that when I stretch my hand, He will give it back. Why? It's still mine. God is not about to take your cares. He said, cast them on the Lord, for He cares for you. Once again, it's trust. You get the point? And those are the things you must learn to do as you go through your process. Those four or five steps, just do them regularly. Whatever you go through, I can guarantee you will come out. You know why? Because you have learned what to do. You are serving. You are casting your cares. You are loving the brethren. You are doing with the will of God. Whatever, even if He slay me, yet will I serve Him. No matter what you go through, you will still come out. Why? Because faithful is He that has called you. He will do it. He will perform what He has said. God is not a man that He should lie. What He says, He will perform. But you and I didn't know the process. Now I've shared a bit with you. Now you understand what you are going through. How many of you located yourself briefly? Okay, now it's time to pray and repent. Say amen.
Amen.
It's time to do what?
Amen.
Repentance should not be what you did when you got saved. Do it regularly. Because it means change of mind and change of attitude. If you're doing something and your spirit begins to pick that, no, that's not the will of God. Repent. Sometimes it might be an attitude. Sometimes it might be, I repent almost every time. You guys must be holier than me because I repent regularly. Even when we're worshiping today, I repented of some things. Oh God. Lord, forgive me for that. God just showed me an attitude I had, a disposition I had towards certain things and certain people that were not healthy. And I repented right there. I said, Lord, because it builds up. You know how a pipe gets clogged? Small sin here, small lie there, small pride here, small this here. After a while, the power of God doesn't flow through again. Just then the spiritual life just begins to drag. Then you tell lies. You don't even have a... Then you lost. It's, you know, it's normal. That person is on his way to hell. Somebody needs to preach the gospel to that person again. Because he has blocked the flow of God in their life. Are you ready for a holy life? Are you ready for a pure life? Are you ready for a destiny that the devil can't stop? Well, let's be up on our feet and pray right now. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Lift up your hands before God. And whatever he brings up in your heart that needs repentance, attitudes, thought patterns, even maybe you've looked down on yourself as if you are nothing. God created you in his image. You should repent of that thought. You should repent of that thought. Go ahead and pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We bless you for your will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, because you're going to train us to reign in life. You're going to train us as we walk in obedience to your word. You're going to train us as we internalize your word. You're going to train us, oh God, to do what only you can do in us. Lord, help us to roll our cares upon you. Help us, oh God, to repent of every wrong attitude. Everything that is not of God that is at work on the inside of us. Everything that will make us feel something that is not holy. Lord, help us, Lord. Help us, Father God. Help us. Oh, Lord, we bless your name today. We bless your name today, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us by the blood of Jesus. Cleanse us from every sin. Cleanse us from the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We look up to you, Jesus. We look up to you, Jesus. Cleanse us by your blood. 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 Jesus, cleanse us by your blood. You have a future for us. You have a future for us. Help us to navigate accurately, to navigate correctly, to navigate into the future that you have for us. Help us, Father. Help us so that we don't miss our destiny. Help us so we don't miss your plans and purposes. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Father. I just want to give a call in case there's somebody here today who is not born again. Or maybe you were born again before, but you've left the Lord. You'd like to be prayed with. Just lift up your hand wherever you are. Eyes closed, heads bowed. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I just want to give the opportunity in case there's somebody here today who will say, Pastor, pray for me. I'd like Jesus to be Lord of my life. Anybody in the house today? Just lift your hand wherever you are. I'd like to just pray for you right where you are. I'm not going to ask you to come out. Hallelujah. Am I seeing any hands up? Wave your hands to me if I don't see them from here. Father, we thank you and we bless you. I want everyone who is a believer to do a rededication of their lives to God. Don't come out just where you are. The things that God has shown you in the past, or maybe you've been accustomed to not seeing those things, but God is trying to say, you know what? Let those things go right now. Let envy, jealousy, let it go. Let truth confront the true state of your heart. Let the true state of your heart be confronted and ask God, if there's anything in me that will hinder your destiny, Lord, take it away. Lord, cleanse me today. Lord, wash me clean today, O God. Wash me clean today, O God. Wash me clean. I ask it, Lord, in the name of Jesus, wash me clean. I believe the power of God is here to heal you, to deliver you, to set you free, to bring real life deliverance to you. Even as I speak, I perceive that there's a home here that there's been so much turmoil, so much trouble going on in that home. But as the message was going on, the Spirit of God is beginning to show you the areas in that home that need adjustment. Why don't you lay it down? Why don't you lay it down and say, Lord, let the death process take over right now. I lay down my pride. I lay down my opinion. I lay down my own orientation, my own pattern, my own thoughts. I embrace God. He's the healer of all. Go ahead and embrace Him today. He's the healer of all. He's the healer of all. He's the healer. There's somebody here. In your place of work, you're having problems because of a bad relationship. The Spirit of God is saying that if you will repent of what you have done, God will turn it around for you. And you will begin to walk in divine favor in that same place of work, and God will promote you there. Go ahead and pray unto Him right now if you're that person. Just begin to receive that grace to be able to repent and to be able to turn around situations and walk in favor. I don't know about you, but I feel in my heart that after this kind of message, if I can open my heart to God, a pure work of grace will be done in my life. A pure work of grace will be done in my life. A pure work of grace will be done in my life. Father, we thank You. We bless Your name. We thank You. We bless Your name. Let the Spirit of God do a work on the inside of you today. Let Him move on the inside of you. Let the Spirit of God move on the inside of you. Father, have Your way in the lives of Your people. Have Your way in the lives of Your people. Have Your way, O God. Have Your way, Lord. Have Your way. Open the eyes of our understanding. Heal and deliver. By Your Spirit, O God. Heal and deliver. Turn situations around, O God. To Your glory and praise, my Father. Oh, let us so pray the ghost of our enemies. God, train us for rain. 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 Train us for rain, Lord. Train us for rain, O God. Train us. Train us. I want to make a fresh surrender to God today. Make a fresh surrender to Him today. Make a fresh surrender to God today. Make a fresh surrender. Put your hand in His hands today. Put your hands in His hands today.
Be the same again.
Do it on the inside of us. I see God wanting to elevate His people. And I see this church moving to another level. But the question is, are you ready for what God wants to do? When the sun manifested on the earth, the whole region where He was knew about Him. And as the sun is made manifest in you, people will get to know what God has done. And there will be a supernatural draw, supernatural pull. The things you were looking for will come looking for you. Because you have found the right thing to look for. His name is God Almighty. When you look for God, things will look for you. When you serve God, things will serve you. Make up your mind and tell God, I put my hands in Your hand. Take me to the future that You have for me. Take me to the future that You have for me. You know the end from the beginning, and I trust You. I trust You with my future. I trust You with my promotion. I'd rather lay down my life and wait for You to raise me from the dead. I'd rather lay down here so that You can be the one to raise me, that You can take the glory. Because when You raise me, no one can pull me down again. When You raise me, death cannot have any effect on me again. Because You have risen me, You have raised me. When Jesus rose from the dead, death had no hold on Him. When God raises you from that situation, everything in the natural, every work of the enemy will have no hold on you again. Why? Because you've gone through the process. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your people. I give You the glory and the praise for Your people in this house. I thank You that Your word has gone forth. It will do an eternal work in their lives. And Your name will be glorified. We thank You and praise You. And we say, have Your way in every life. You are able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. According to the power that works in us. May that power work mighty on the inside. In the mighty name of Jesus, and the people say, amen. God bless you, sir.
My heart Yeah.